So, coming next to the stage, this gentleman, a true published author, American author. In fact, you are American, right?
Yeah.
There we go. Written a number of modules for role-playing games, which is pretty fantastic, including stuff like Dragon Age and Munchkin. He runs a charity D&D tournament every year at the Co-Prosperity Sphere in Bridgeport, which is so cool. And also, he is a great dude that I love working with. Please welcome Mr. Will Henmarch.
So I'm changing their names. I'm going to call them Rick and Rob. Rick was my brother's bully, a few years older than me, and my bully. And my bully was older than me. So I'm going to go with Rob. Rob's a name and a verb. So let's say my bully was Rob. They were the sons of a marshal or a prison warden or something. They were big white guys. Not football big, but round and tall with hands like hams. In my head, eighth grade Rob was already balding. His high forehead made him look grown up, grizzled and mean, like a biker who'd seen some shit. And Rob used to yell at me. He'd push me around. He knocked me down. He made me cry. And one time on a class picture day, he and his crew threw tennis balls at me in the parking lot, which would be no big deal except that I slipped on one of them and, in my dress shoes, went face first into the blonde bricks of the school wall. And knocked a bunch of my teeth out of whack and sideways and stuff. And that was a bloody mess. And nobody came over to help. Because I was kind of the outcast in elementary school, which is somebody's got to be. And I was a nerd who drew dragons in his notebook, sketched out Starfleet ships on my math assignment. And nobody was coming over to help. And if they had, I would have scared them off. Because I was a moody, spastic, molten kid. What would be in it for someone to stand up for me? That was just the way things were. And another time, while we were in our middle school library for, I don't know, like English or biology or something, doing research, he stood over me while I sat at a table in the library. And he said the things that he used to have to say to make me cry. Fat, spaz, loser, the greatest hits. So without thinking, without getting out of my chair, I hit him. I don't know what I was thinking. I know I hit him. Well, I mean, I struck him. I slapped him open-handed across the face. And immediately after, the very next thing, I almost fainted. I looked at the shock on his insulted face, and I foresaw a great beating. He grabbed me and put me into the window blinds and held me there, pushing hard like he might force me through the glass, through the air, into the yard two stories down, into a grave formed by my collision with the earth. The blinds bent and broke and made the sounds the blinds make, and my feeble body couldn't push Rob back. But the librarian's voice got him to let me go straight away. And she sent us away. She sent us down to the principal's office, he and I, together. And by the time we got there, Rob had grown mutton chops. He was getting older every minute. He got a tattoo of a dagger on his neck. And a bunch of his teeth are metal now by the time we get down. Sometimes we need to stand up to bullies, the principal said. Something like that. The principal was a narrow guy with tall salt and pepper hair, big glasses. And he had the kind of mustache that back then meant you were either a highway patrol officer or a Chicagoan. Without knowing anything about him except his demeanor, I concluded that he was a boring man. The kind of man who goes home at the end of a long day at the middle school and enjoys quietly sitting still in a chair with no armrests. Sometimes we need to stand up for ourselves, is what I think you said. I don't really know anything about my middle school principal. I mean, I think about the dynamic we must have had, right? I've heard of him because he's the baronet of our barony. He's heard of me because I was a weak student who tested well, because I was in counseling, I was a risk for self-harm, because I appeared in his paperwork. And I'd seen him. He presided over us because he was the principal. And I remembered how to spell his job title because a teacher taught us that a school's principal ends in pal. Because your principal should be a helpful friend. But only one of us has a file on the other one in his office. You know what I mean? That doesn't seem friendly to me. So when he said what he said, it occurred to me that maybe I had been wrong all that time. Maybe I wasn't alone all that time. Some hope inside of me started to find its feet. Sometimes, he said, we need to stand up to bullies for ourselves. But I don't think this was one of those times, he said. As I remember it, Rob smiled, lit a cigarette, and nodded. It wasn't heartbreaking, really. It was sort of affirming. Honestly, nobody was coming to help me. I was right. And the hope inside of me laid back down on the floor in the cool sand made from ground down shards of my long ago broken heart. And the principal decreed that we were to be cast away together to a Saturday of detention. I would be put again into a library with Rob, who by then carried a meat cleaver in a shoulder holster. I would be stranded on a deserted island without friends, pitted against a rabid wild boar and its grudge and its tusks, and its dad was a cop, and I had just read Lord of the Flies. Except, nope, Rob didn't show, because of course he didn't. Things like detention didn't stick to him. So I spent detention alone on a deserted Saturday making notes in my spiral bound for some Dungeons and Dragons adventures, listening to the surf on the sandy shore, and glad for once to be alone. Thank you.
Rob was here right now, you guys. He's probably ascended into like some hybrid metal dragon at this point.